summers. I forgot about it, but we got up to some big evil stuff, and it's just to say, Kufnun Gimel, for those who don't know, Rambam wrote a sefer that's called Mishneh Torah. He calls it Mishneh Torah. He writes that the reason why he calls it Mishneh Torah is that you only have to study the Tanakh in my sefer, Mishneh Torah, and then you'll know everything there is to know. The Jewish nation has not accepted that advertisement of the Rambam, so we toned it down. We don't call it Mishneh Torah. We call it Yad HaZaka. Yad HaZaka because it has 14 Svarim, Yud Dal, Mada, Havazmanim, and so on. And what is learning all about? A lot of people don't understand what is the essence of learning all about. So learning, the Rambam mitzvah learning is that we have to know which are the 613 mitzvahs, and we have to know all of the details, the nitty-gritty details of each one of the 613 mitzvahs. That's what's called learning. Sometimes we have to delve into the details of the mitzvah. We have to clarify hakira, is it A, is it B, okay, but the essence of the mitzvah of learning is to know which are the 613 mitzvahs and what are all the details. So as an introductory sefer to the Mishneh Torah, the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvah. Sefer HaMitzvah was written in Arabic. The Mishneh Torah was written in Hebrew. The Rambam has a fancy Hebrew, special style Hebrew. So the Sefer HaMitzvah was written in Arabic, and we use a translation. There's more than one translation. This translation is sometimes, Ibn Tibbon translation is sometimes a little faulty, but that's why in recent years there are several new translations. Rab Chaim Heller lived in Europe. He put out a new translation of the Rambam. He knew Arabic, so he put out a new translation of the Rambam's Sefer Mitzvahs. And they say that the Chofetz Chaim got so excited when he saw Rab Chaim Heller's new edition, so he said, you're not allowed to use the old edition anymore. Gemara says, Hosel Adam Lahashis, Sefer Shein and Muga Beveso. Gemara says, in Sudis, you're not allowed to keep a Sefer in your home that has mistakes in it. So he said, now that we have the new translation of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and there are clearly errors in the standard translation, the old one, the regular edition, the Chofetz Chaim says, you're not allowed to use the old one. No, it's hard. Not everybody can go buy Rab Chaim Heller's edition. Then in recent years, we have Rabbi Kapach, who was also an expert, and he made his own translation. And there are several new translations, but we'll use the standard translation. And then the Rambam, in the beginning of the Mishneh Torah, gives you the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzara. He gives you the listing of the 248 mitzvahs Haseh, and the listing of the 365 mitzvahs Lois Haseh. In the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he has a whole paragraph about each one of the mitzvahs. The Sefer HaMitzvahs has two parts to it. The first part, he gives you the klolim, he gives you the shoroshim, he gives you the guidelines, the rules and regulations, what qualifies to be included in the minyan HaMitzvahs, and what does not belong in the minyan HaMitzvahs. Then the second half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he gets into the details, and he lists off what, in his opinion, are the 248 mitzvahs essay and the 365 mitzvahs lois essay. I think we left off last summer, probably, around mitzvah sasei kuf nun gimel. The Rambam says, the Rambam considers it one mitzvah to establish the Jewish calendar. It's not that me or you have this obligation. The Rambam says, not a chavis al yochid, it's mutal on any individual person, that when I see the new moon, I declare it as Rosh Chodesh. Each person is going to declare Rosh Chodesh whenever he's in the mood, whenever he sees the new moon. So some people will be observing Pesach on one day, other people will be observing Pesach on a different day. Each person will decide today's Rosh Chodesh based on when he happens to see the moon. So that's ridiculous. So the Rambam says you have to have some central body. The Rambam's opinion is that this is the Bezen HaGadol. The Rambam thinks that you require Bezen HaGadol to determine when Rosh Chodesh is, and the Rambam's opinion is that determining when Rosh Chodesh is, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim, and determining which year will be a leap year. In the Jewish calendar, we have every so often, we have every two or three years, we have a leap year that has 13 months instead of only having 12 months. So the Rambam considers all of this as one big mitzvah. Kviyas HaChadoshim and Kviyas HaShonim, which years will be Shonim Uberis, which years will be Shonim Pshuta, the Rambam thinks that this is one mitzvah. The Ramban has a long hasoga on the Rambam. Here he disagrees. Every so often the Ramban disagrees with things that the Rambam wrote. The Ramban's hasogas were written in Hebrew. And the Ramban, we're not sure exactly which translation, the Ramban did not have an Arabic original of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Ramban read the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs in translation. So every so often it's a little unclear which translation the Ramban had. But here it's not too significant. Here it's not relevant. Ramban disagrees on a lot of points that the Rambam says. At one point he thinks that the Sefer Halachas Gedolos is more correct, that these should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs. One mitzvah to declare B'Shoidesh, and another mitzvah to declare which year should be a Shana Pshuta, which year should be a Shana Mu'uberes. Yeah. What is this all about? Shana Pshuta, Shana Mu'uberes. And the Rambam explains it a little bit over here in his long paragraph in Mitzvah Sesed Kufnu and Gimel. In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam explains it even better. He says the year consists of months. The months have to be lunar months, but the year has to be a solar year. How do you know the year has to be a solar year? So the Rambam proves it because Pesach is supposed to fall out in Chodesh Aviv in the springtime. The Sukkot is supposed to fall out at the beginning of the ingathering season of the year. And the solar year is 11 days longer than the lunar year. So if you won't make a Shana Mu'uberes every couple of years, so Pesach will always be 11 days earlier every year. So Pesach will keep on moving. The first couple, after a couple of years, Pesach, instead of being in the springtime, will be in the middle of the winter. Then it's going to turn out, 3-4 years later, it'll turn out to be in the fall. Then it'll turn out to be in the middle of the summer. Then 19 years later, it'll turn out again to be in the springtime. So we don't want that. We want Pesach should always be in the Chodesh Aviv. So therefore, we have to make a Shana Mu'uberes. So the years are supposed to be solar years. The seasons depend on the sun. As opposed to the months are supposed to be lunar months. But that's why in Jewish calendar, the months either have 29 or 30 days, because the difference by the Chidush Alvan is 29 and a half days. So the Rambam considers this one big mitzvah, Kviyas HaChodesh and Ibra Hashan is one mitzvah. The Rambam thinks that more correct is the position of the Halachas Gedolos, who preceded the Rambam, but these should be counted as two distinct mitzvahs. Then the Rambam says that this mitzvah, he says it here, and he says it in the Mishnah Torah, he repeats it again and emphasizes it. This mitzvah is up to the Bezen HaGadol. You have to have some central authority to determine when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. The Rambam says he makes fun of those who think. He says the Karaim do like that. It's free for all. Each guy makes his own Rosh Chodesh whenever he don pleases, and each one is going to observe Yom Tov at a different time. So that's ridiculous. There has to be some central authority. So that central authority is the Bezen HaGadol. Ramban takes issue with the Rambam, because the Rambam himself quotes from the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara says that Abai v'Rava lived in Bava, and they had counterparts. There were Rabbanim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, the same time Abai v'Rava lived in Bava. There were Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael also. So till the middle of the days of Abai v'Rava, they still practiced Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Hariyah in Eretz Yisrael. Abai v'Rava lived many years after the Churban Abayis. How long did the Bezen HaGadol continue to function? So the Gemara says 40 years before the Churban Abayis. The second Beis HaMikdash, we assume, was destroyed in the year 70. Not exactly 100% clear. Could be it was a year or two off. But approximately the year 70. It was a long time ago. So the Gemara tells us that 40 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin already went into Golus, and it can no longer function as a Sanhedrin. And the Rambam quotes this, that 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Sanhedrin ceased to function. And the Rambam writes that in order to determine Kviyas HaKodesh and Ibra Hashana, we need a Sanhedrin Gdolah. And the Rambam also writes a third statement, that Kiddush HaKodesh continued till the days of Abai v'Rava. So that's an impossibility. The days of Abai v'Rava was a few centuries after the Churban Bayis Sheni. That was way later. That was way after the Bezen HaGadol ceased to function. So how can the Rambam say that the Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana has to be done by the Bezen HaGadol? So the Ramban disagrees and he says no. The Halacha just requires you need three smuchim. You need a Bezen of three who have smicha. Which Bezen of three is going to declare? So we'll put together a Bezen in Yerushalayim. And then it's Tzfat put together their own Bezen of three, and then in Beersheba they'll put together a Bezen of three. So no, so the answer is Kol HaKodim Zohar. Whichever Bezen declared Rosh Chodesh first, so that's it, that day is going to be Rosh Chodesh. When you have a Bezen HaGadol, Sechel dictates that out of respect for the Bezen HaGadol, no other Bezen should declare Kiddush HaChodesh without approval of the Bezen HaGadol. So that's what the Ramban says. I agree with the Ramban partially. That Bizman Sheyesh Bezen HaGadol, it's not their cheretz that any other Bezen should declare Kiddush HaChodesh or Ibra Hashana without the approval of the Bezen HaGadol. But after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and there's no longer any Bezen HaGadol, you don't really need Bezen HaGadol. That's the Ramban argues. You don't really need Bezen HaGadol the Kiddush on Chodesh and need Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam is not their problem. How can the Rambam insist that you need Bez Nagadol? There was no Bez Nagadol 40 years before the Churban HaBayis. So the commentaries on the bottom of the page here, they have a lot of commentaries here on the Sefer HaMitzvah. So they suggest to defend the Rambam. It's in a lot of standard. It always used to be printed in the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, the Sefer HaMitzvah, because it was originally written by the Rambam to serve as the introduction to the Mishnah Torah. Then the Chasam Sofer writes that the printers found all of these manuscripts, all of these commentaries, the Leiv Sameach and the Megillas Esther, and there are more. I forgot already who else is here. I have a couple of other commentaries on the bottom of the page, every so often. So they wanted to make more money. So the printers printed the Sefer HaMitzvahs as a separate volume, and they printed the Mishnah Torah as a separate volume in order to get to charge double price. So once they separated, the printer separated the Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Mishnah Torah, so a lot of Talmidei Chachamim never bought the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So it lost its popularity. So the Chasam Sofer bemoans the fact that Rabbonim, Talmidei Chachamim, are not studying the Sefer HaMitzvahs anymore. He says there's so many important things that the Rambam only explains in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that you can know the whole Mishnah Torah backwards and forwards, and you won't know everything that appears here in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Most of the things that appear are repeated in the Mishnah Torah. Every so often there's something new. It's not repeated. So one of the commentaries on the bottom of the page explains over here that the Rambam's opinion apparently is that you can have a Bez Nagadol even after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says that 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Bez Nagadol went into Golus. They left the Beis HaMikdash on their own. They left the Beis HaMikdash and they ceased to function. So he says no. The Gemara says they cease to function in the sense that you can no longer be dan din in the nefashos. That's all. The Bez Nagadol cannot be dan din in the nefashos unless they're located in the Sanhedrin. Is supposed to be located preferably in the Beis HaMikdash. And we're no longer located in the Beis HaMikdash, that they cannot be done any din in the nefashos. And Melu, all the other Sanhedrois, Sanhedrin Ktana, that consists of 23 Dayanim, can also not judge did in the Farshas. But the Rambam never understood that statement of the Gemara to mean that Bezban Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim does not Bez Nagadol at all. It's not true. Bez Nagadol did function. So that's why the Bez Nagadol still existed. A body of 71 Rabbanim still existed even several centuries after the Churban Bayis Sheni till the days of Abai Verovah. That's how they defend the Rambam. The Rambam also writes that the Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashani, quoting from the Gemaras, says Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashani must be done in Eretz Yisrael, cannot be done in Chutz Lort. And he explains why. He gives a very novel explanation. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. The Rambam quotes a pasuk. The Sheikh Nesidushu Vosho Shomon, based on a pasuk. But the Rambam gives you a reason why. So he says the following: if one were to assume, God forbid, that's how he writes, Cholila Lakel Measozos, God forbid, if one were to assume that after the Holocaust there would be many Jews surviving, but all the Jews who would survive would live in Chutz Lortz, there wouldn't be any Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. So he says then the promise, the Haftocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people, that the Jewish people would always survive, would have been broken, would be violated. Says the Rambam says HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Haftocha promise that there will always be survivors and the Jewish people will survive. And the Rambam assumes the Jewish people, on that expression, that concept only applies to the Jewish people who live in Eretz Yisrael. Whenever you have a din that depends on Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael, that only applies to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. All the Jews who live in Chutz Lortz are considered like Yechidim. That's an expression that appears in the Gemara in Maseches Tainus at the end of the first period. Gemara talks about when do you say Talamata? When do you say the same Talamata and Baruch Aleinu? Only when the Tzibur needs it. The Gemara says, what if you have a whole big city like Nineveh, a city in Chutz Lortz that needs rain a certain season of the year? Should that whole city say the same Talamata and Baruch Aleinu? Or should they say the same Talamata and Shmak Aleinu? If I need rain, let's say in the middle of the summer and Eretz Yisrael never rains here, till after Sukkot is not going to rain. And if it rains, it'll rain for 2 minutes and it's going to stop. Very rarely rains. So if what happens if a person lives in Eretz, he needs rain? For some reason or another, he needs rain. So he's not allowed to say the same Talamata and the Baruch Aleinu. The Tzibur doesn't need rain. He should say the same Talamata and Shmak Aleinu. He's a Yochid. So the Gemara says, what if you have a big city, Ir Gedolah K'Ninveh, And all the people in Nineveh need rain. So the Gemara says that's ki yichidim dami. So many of them, Farshim on the Gemara explained that all the Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are considered like yichidim. Only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam says that Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibra HaShana can only be done by Klal Yisrael. The Bez Nagadol does it as representing Klal Yisrael. The Rambam understands there are two dinim in Bez Nagadol. There's one din Bez Nagadol as a Bezdin, Paskin's things, they're done. And then some of the Bez Nagadol is like the Congress, that they represent the nations. And here the Bez Nagadol represents Klal Yisrael. When they declare when Rosh Chodesh should be and which year should be Hashanah Pshuta, which year should be Hashanah Mu'beres. So the Rambam explains that's the reason why Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibra HaShanah can only be done by a Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael, because the Bezdin is really representing Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael only applies in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Lashon that he writes. If one were to imagine, Ilu Hinachnu Derech Mashal, if one were to imagine, Shebnei Eretz Yisrael, Yehodrum Eretz Yisrael, all the Jews will disappear from Eretz Yisrael. There'll be millions of Jews living in Chutz La'aretz. He says, Cholilu Kiyam Yasozos, God forbid that such a thing should happen. So he says, then God would be in violation of his Haftacha that the Jewish nation would never cease. Because the Jewish nation, the concept of Jewish nation only applies to those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Avnei Nezer, the Avnei Nezer was a Chassidish Rebbe who lived, he died around 1920 or so. He was a Sochet Shaveh Rebbe, and his tshuvas are known as Avnei Nezer. So he, in the beginning of the second Chelek Aruch Hayim, he has an essay in his tshuvas about this Rambam. So he points out there's another place where the Rambam brings out the same idea. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis on Chorus on Daf Chortes, the Mishnah there on Chorus, it's an Avla Gedoyla that people who are into learning, all the people who are very much into learning, they only look in the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. Nobody ever looks in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Hardly anybody ever looks in the Pirush HaMishnayis. So it's a big mistake. The real big Gedolim always use the Pirush HaMishnayis, and the real big Gedolim always used to use the Sefer HaMitzvahs as well. So the Avnei Nezer points out that this idea that the Rambam develops here, that the Ikat Siruf of Klal Yisrael only applies to those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, is repeated by the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayis, in his commentary, Mishnais Bechorus and Daf Chavtes. The Rambam there is explaining why Spichah can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam says because only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam understands that Smicha is also not a private affair. Not a person who got Smicha from his Rebbe, got Smicha from his Rebbe, can confer Smicha to his student. A private thing, I have Smicha, I can confer Smicha to someone else. And the chain of Masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu, Ish ben Pi'isha, and Moshe Rabbeinu will continue. No, the Rambam understands when a person who has smicha confers smicha to someone from the next generation, he's representing Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is giving the smicha. So that's why the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis that smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. That's a Gemara. The Gemara says that. Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam explains the reason why. Because only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered Klal Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are not considered Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam poses a question, if in his opinion, Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibra HaShanah requires Bezdin HaGadol, or even if one should assume like the Ramban, it's still going to be a good question. The Ramban thinks that you don't need Bezdin HaGadol, but you still need a Bezdin of three people to have smicha. So today nobody has any real smicha. The smicha was already broken, the continuous chain of smicha was broken over 1500 years ago. You can't confer smicha in Chutz La'aretz. We fly to Eretz Yisrael every other day. We fly to Eretz Yisrael. Years ago they couldn't fly to Eretz Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz live in Chutz La'aretz. So you can't confer smicha in Chutz La'aretz. So those who never went to Eretz Yisrael is out of the question. In Eretz Yisrael, the Goyish governments were always making gzeiros against the Jews. They didn't permit them to confer smicha. We were in Sanhedrin, the first parak tells the story, the way one Tana was Moshe Nefesh, he gave smicha in public, and they killed him, and the Romans killed him. Why did he give the smicha in public? Why didn't he give smicha in private? The answer is because smicha is supposed to be given as representing Klal Yisrael. So the halacha apparently is that it has to be given in public. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave the smicha, we had in last week's parsha, not Parsha's Pinchos. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the smicha to Yeshua ben Nun, so it says in the pasuk, "V'tzivisa oso li'enehem." Moshe Rabbeinu had to confer the smicha in public. Even Moshe Rabbeinu's smicha had to be conferred in public. But the smicha is really that Klal Yisrael are giving the smicha. Moshe Rabbeinu, or whoever it is who got smicha, Ish Mipish, and Moshe Rabbeinu, is representing the tzibur in conferring the smicha. So nobody has any real smicha this man is in. The Chutz Lord's out of the question. Even Eretz Yisrael, the continuous chain of smicha Yishmin Piyish and Moshe Rabbeinu was broken over 1500 years ago. So the whole smicha that we have today is only imitation smicha. That's what the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Abarbanel. I think it's the only place that the Ramah ever quotes anything from the Abarbanel. Is in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the third Chelik Yerideya, he quotes the Abarbanel, says that the smicha that we give today is only imitation. Smicha is not the real bona fide smicha Yishmi Piyish and Moshe Rabbeinu. It's obvious like that. You don't need the Abarbanel to tell you that. Anyone who learns Gemara knows that that's the story, that the smicha that we have today is to satisfy a takana that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi made. Not a din deraisa, a din derabbanan. Talmud al yore, and okay, not al reshus mei rabbo. That a student who knows how to learn well shouldn't paskin any shailas unless he has heter hayua, unless he has permission to paskin from his rebbe. That's really called metilas reshus. And that's why in Europe many people wouldn't refer to the smicha that we give today, a smicha that we call it heter hayua, permission to paskin, or permission to teach. Some rishonim say heter hayua means talmud al yore. Person is not allowed to be a Rebbe in a yeshiva unless he has permission from his Rebbe. The Rebbe should only give permission to the student to teach if number one, the student is knowledgeable, he knows how to learn, number two, he has a clear diction, he knows how to speak clearly, and he knows how to explain things to the students. He can be the world's biggest Talmud Chacham, but if he doesn't know how to explain things, then the Rebbe should not give him permission to teach, or he won't be a successful teacher. So that's what the smicha is b'zman hazeh. So the question is, according to the Rambam, today there is no Bez Nagadol, so there can't be any Kiddush HaKadosh and Yibra Hashana. According to the Rambam, you don't need Bez Nagadol. When there is a Bez Nagadol, we should all defer to the Bez Nagadol. There's no Bez Nagadol, you don't need Bez Nagadol, but you still need three Rabbanim who have smicha. So Bezman is that nobody has any bona fide smicha. So how does Rosh Chodesh ever happen? Shabbos happens by itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh came and said, HaKadosh also, and Hashem created the world, He was Mekadosh all the Shabbosim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadosh Shabbos. Shabbos doesn't need our input. But Rosh Chodesh doesn't happen by itself. Rosh Chodesh, B'nai Yisrael have to be Mekadosh. Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara says, that's why there's a difference in the Nusach HaBrocha. On Shabbos in the Davening, they say, Baruch HaTo Hashem Mekadosh HaShabbos. Hashem is Mekadosh Shabbos. And Rosh Chodesh and on Yom Tov, they say, Baruch HaTo Hashem Mekadosh Yisrael V'Roshei Chodeshim. Mekadosh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. Or Mekadosh Yisrael V'yom HaKippurim, on Mekadesh Yisrael, V'yom HaZikaron, on Rosh Hashanah. Why Mekadesh Yisrael? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadesh to the Jewish people. We in turn make the day into Rosh Chodesh. We made it into Yom Kippur, or into Rosh Chodesh and so on, or into Yom Tov. It doesn't happen by itself. So the question is a good question, both according to the Rambam and according to the Ramban. If nobody has any smicha b'zman hazeh, there's no Bez Nagadol at all, so how did the Rosh HaKadoshim happen automatically? There shouldn't be any Rosh HaKadoshim. There shouldn't be any Yomim Tovim. Shouldn't be any Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach, Shavuos. There should only be Shabbos. Shabbos happens by itself. Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov never happens by itself. So how do we have these days? So the Ramban, the Rambam gives an answer. The Rambam here gives an answer. The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah alludes to what he wrote over here. He has a part of the same answer. We're not sure what the Rambam said. The Rambam said, we today who calculate, the Rambam lived in Egypt. So he says, we today who calculate when Rosh Chodesh is, based on a whole mathematical system, and which year was going to be a Shana Muberis, and which year was going to be a Shana Pshuta, it's not that we and Chutz Lords are determining when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. It's the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, the Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael, they're making Rosh Chodesh. Rambam says, what Bezdin? Where Bezdin? There is no Bezdin there. Nobody has any smicha. What the Rambam is imagining, that there's the Bezdin. There are three rabbis in Eretz Yisrael that have smicha. The Rambam knew that it's not true. There is no Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael. Even Bezman Hazeh, there's a chief rabbinate, but nobody has any real smicha. Everything is just imitation smicha. So what did the Rambam answer? That the Jews in Eretz Yisrael are the ones who are making it into Rosh Chodesh, and we are following their lead. What do you mean the Jews in Eretz Yisrael don't have any smicha? So the Rambam seems to be saying the following. This is famous from Rav Soloveitchik Zichrono Livracha. He published this essay many years ago, that the Rambam sounds like he's saying that the Bezdin HaGadol that does Kiddush HaKadosh and Yibra Hashana doesn't do it as a Bezdin. They do it as representatives of Klal Yisrael. So the Zman that there is no Bezdin HaGadol, then the ability to determine when Rosh Chodesh is and which year is going to be Hashana Mu'beres reverts back to Bnei Yisrael. So the Jewish people who live in Eretz Yisrael decide when they want to observe Rosh Chodesh, when they want to observe Yom Tov, and they have the right to. They are considered Klal Yisrael. The 10 Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, the 10 farmers, that's how the Yavne Nezer writes, the 10 farmers who live in Eretz Yisrael, they're the Klal Yisrael. When they decide when they want to observe Rosh Chodesh, when they want to observe Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, they have the right to determine based on the rules and regulations. And then all the Jews in Chutz Lartz have to follow their lead. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying. That the Jews in Eretz Yisrael who live there today are the Klal Yisrael. They're the ones who are making the Kiddush HaChodesh and the Ibur HaShon. Ramban doesn't hold from this. This long Ramban, he disagrees with the Rambam. And he says, he thinks that Hillel HaSheni was the last person. Hillel HaSheni was a grandson of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the one who edited the Mishnayos. So Hillel HaSheni, the Gemara seems to say, Maseches Roshana, was the one who established the Luach as we know it today. So he was Mekadosh in advance. He knew that for many years there wouldn't be any Smuchim among the Jewish people and we wouldn't have the ability to make Rosh Chodesh or to declare Rosh Hashanah Mu'beres. So he was Mekadosh in advance, all the Rosh Chodeshim until Mashiach comes, until the Bezin will be reconvened, will have the ability on their own to make Rosh Chodesh and to determine which year should be Hashanah Mu'beres and which year should be Hashanah Pshuta. So we today are observing Rosh Chodesh, not because we are making it, not because the Jews in Eretz Yisrael are making it into Rosh Chodesh, but rather because Hillel HaSheni, so many centuries ago, over 1500 years ago, he determined. He was Mekadosh in advance. He said, he drew up the whole system, the whole chart, and he said, every time a Rosh Chodesh will come, I hereby declare it as Rosh Chodesh 1500 years in advance. I think Gemara says you're not supposed to do that. Gemara says you wait till the actual day itself and to say, today is Rosh Chodesh. The Bezer shouldn't say, next Wednesday will be Rosh Chodesh. Ramban says, L'chatchila mid Rabbanan, you shouldn't do it. But if you have no Breire, if you see that there won't be any Smuchim in the future, so we revert back to the Ikar HaDin. The Ikar HaDin is that you can do it. So he says, that's what Hillel HaSheni did. We today observe Rosh Chodesh in Yomim Tovim because Hillel HaSheni established everything well in advance. And the Rambam disagreed. The Rambam says, no. The Jews who are living in Eretz Yisrael today are the ones who are making Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShana. That's why it's exciting if you're visiting Eretz Yisrael when they bench Rosh Chodesh. It's kind of Shabbos, no? You visit when they bench Rosh Chodesh. So then you're part of the people who are creating Rosh Chodesh, according to the Rambam. Same thing, yeah. The Ramban thinks that Hillel HaSheni declared everything in advance. He determined which years are going to be leap years until Mashiach comes and the Bezin will be reconvened, reestablished. And the Rambam says no. The Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, by their Nihud, they're observing Pesach a month later and they decided that there should be another Sheni. So they're the ones who are making into Rosh Hashanah Mu'beres. Yeah, this is a famous mitzvah says in Kuf Nun Gimel. It's very famous. The Rambam has a lot to say and the Ramban has a lot to comment as well. Okay. Here it's starting from Kuf Nun Gimel. The Rambam is talking about, he puts together all the, we're not sure what the order of the Rambam is. The first mitzvah Saseh he has is to believe in God. So maybe goes in descending order of importance. The most important mitzvah he has first, then. But it's not exactly so. It's not exactly in descending order of importance. So we're not sure exactly. It's clearly not in the order that the mitzvahs appear in the Chumash. The order that the mitzvahs appear in the Chumash, that's what the Sefer HaChinuch uses, that system. He starts with the mitzvah of Pirug Rivia, then he goes on to Milo, then to Gilan Osha, then he goes on to Kiddush HaChodesh, mitzvah Dalet. So we're not sure exactly the Seder of the Rambam. Part of the Seder of the Rambam is he puts together clusters of mitzvahs that are related. The starting from Kuf Nun Gimel, he's going to give all the mitzvahs that have to do with Zmanim. So Kuf Nun Gimel is the Kviyas HaLuach. Kuf Nun Dalet says we should observe Shvisa Min Malocha and Shabbos. He has Kuf Nun Dalet and Kuf Nun Hey. There are two mitzvahs Min HaTorah in connection with Shabbos. One is Shomar and one is Zachar. One is in Parshas Yisrael, one in Parshas Vayeschanan. There are two versions of the Aseres HaDibros. So this is the major discrepancy that the Gemara works on. Zachar v'shamar are two different things. Shamar is a loisense, and Zachar is a mitzvah saseh. So the Gemara asks the question, which was it? When you get to the Aseres HaDibris, and there was one of the Dibris was about Shabbos, is it a mitzvah saseh? Or is it a mitzvah loisense? So the Gemara says, Zachar v'shamar b'dibri echanem. And then Shbocha proclaimed both at Har Sinai. Exactly which one was written on the Luchas is very unclear. Was it that that one was written on the Luchas Rishonis, one was written on the Luchas Shnias? Not necessarily. It says in the Chumash, "Psal Luchos and Luchos Avarim Karishin and Chasafti and Luchos Hadvarim Mashehayu Alal Luchos Arishonim Asher Sheibarta." The Rebbe Shalom says he's going to engrave on the Luchas Shnias exactly everything that was written on the Luchas Rishonis. So what's going on over here? How come one it says Zach and one it says Shamar?
Doesn't say
what? What?
It says
kill,
like
light. Sabtuchas hadvarim mashal hayu al luchos harishonim asher shibarta. No, doesn't say kill. So it's not too clear. The Ramban Chumash works on it. It's not too clear what was actually written. There are other discrepancies between the two versions of the luchos, between Parshas Yisro and Parshas Vayeshlach. The Ramban writes in his commentary on Chumash, whenever the Chumash quotes something, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a word-for-word quotation. Let's say the Chumash quotes what Para Melech Mitzrayim said, what Yankov Avinu said, or what Bilam said. It doesn't necessarily have to be word-for-word quotation. Chumash gives you the gist of what they said. So here also, Seres HaDibros, it may well be that it's neither the text that appears in Yisro nor the text that appears in Vos Chana. Could be that both of them are just approximations. So the Gemara never worried about all the other discrepancies between the two versions of the Luchas Rishonis, Luchas Shnias, but could be that neither was a precise presentation. But the one that's a real contradiction is Zachar versus Shamar. Because Zachar means a mitzvah says, and Shamar means a mitzvah slay says. So the Gemara says they were both proclaimed simultaneously. Zachar v'Shamar v'Dibrei Echanan. So the Rambam has mitzvah kuf nun dalet, mitzvah kuf nun he, are those two mitzvahs of Zachar v'Shamar. So it says, Kuf Nun Dalet is Shamar, and Shamar Shabbos is one who doesn't do Malacha. So Shamar Shabbos L'Katcha means you're supposed to abstain from Malacha. It says, L'Sas Ka Malacha, that's a L'Sasa. But the Rambam writes, in addition to not being, if a person observes Shabbos and does do Malacha, not only has he not violated the law of L'Sas Ka Malacha, he has also fulfilled the Shevi Al-Tasa by doing nothing, he has fulfilled the Mitzvah Saseh of Shamar Yom Shabbos L'Kachim. So the Rambam writes, that there's a mitzvah not to do malacha b'yom hashvi'i tishbos. There's a mitzvah not to do malacha on Shabbos. It's also lois asay not to do malacha. And then he says there's a mitzvah of zachor. Zachor means to recite kiddush. Zachor usually means to remember. And once in a while in Tanakh, the word Zachar means lahazakir, to mention, to speak. So here it's a, take for example, Zachar esal shosa lecha amalek. So the Gemara says, Yochel belev, maybe means we should just remember the story of Amalek. No, tam aloi, maloi sishkach. The last phrase in that paragraph says, don't forget. So hare belev omer, it says you shouldn't forget. So matam aloi mezachar, Zachar means Zachar b'peh. So Zachar esal shosa lecha amalek means you should mention, you should talk about what Amalek did. The mitzvah is to read Parshas Amalek from the Sefer Torah. Lahazikir, the same thing, Kiddush. Zachar Siyam Shabbos L'Katshe, it doesn't mean to remember the day of Shabbos, it means to mention the Kedushas Hayoim of Shabbos. And if I just make a statement today, is Shabbos, so the Rama holds that's not sufficient. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this Rama. The mitzvah says it, Kuf Nun Hei. The Rama says that's not sufficient to be in fulfillment of the mitzvah reciting Kiddush. You have to say, today is Shabbos, and Shabbos is different from every other day of the week. Shabbos is a holy day. You have to mention Kedushas HaShabbos, Ma'alosor, the significance of Shabbos, the Hibodlo Mishar Hayamim Hakod Mimen of Haboy Makro. That Shabbos is different from the days that precede it and the days that follow it. L'moshel Bami sings Miris on Shabbos, so that's the theme of many of the Miris. Yom Zeh Mechuban Mikol Yomim. So when you recite those Miris that speak about the uniqueness of Shabbos, that's an enhancement of the fulfillment of this mitzvah of reciting Kiddush. Kiddush is not just to recite, today is Shabbos, today is a holy day, and to say today is a special day, and different from the previous days, and different from the following days. So the Rambam lists off these mitzvahs, Kufnun Dalad and Kufnun A, is a mitzvah not to do malacha on Shabbos. One who abstains from malacha is not only not in violation of a loisa essay, I raise a key in mitzvah essay, the Rambam writes, he's mekayim mitzvah b'shevi al ta'ase. And then he says there's a mitzvah to recite Kiddush. Yeah.
So, you said since they were said at a divur, Shamar is an ase still?
No. Shamar is really a loisa essay. I said it over wrong. Mitzvah Sesi Kufnu Dalid is not Shomer. Mitzvah Sesi Kufnu Dalid is a Bayam HaShvi'i Tishbos. The Rambam is going to count Shomer together with Loisase Pan Malocha. Let's talk a Loi Sesi. The Gemara says, whenever it says Hishomer Pen Aral, that's the equivalent of Loi. That's considered a Loi Sesi. What was the significance of proclaiming both B'dibur Echod, Zachar B'Shamar B'dibur Echod? So the Gemara says the significance was that women are just as mechayvim kiddush as men. Normally we should have said that women are exempt from kiddush, because it should be considered a mitzvah saseh, shehazman groma, that women are putter from. So because Zachar B'Shamar were proclaimed, V'vasachas, B'dibur Echod, V'ashein ha'pei yecholu l'dabu v'lo ho'oz, and yecholu l'shma, a human being cannot say two things at the same time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed two things in Har Sinai simultaneously, so that has a status like a hekesh. A hekesh really means if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk. So we assume that there must be some connection between the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk. That's called a hekesh. If you have two dinim written in two psukim that are next to each other, that's called smuchim, and that's a machlekes hatanaim, whether you darshan smuchim, whether you necessarily darshan smuchim. We usually assume you only darshan smuchim in Chumash Devarim. The Mishnah Torah is different. If you have any two psukim that are next to each other that deal with two different dinim, we assume that there is a connection. We have many, many, many halachas that are based on smuchim in Chumash Dvarim. But Bereishis through Bamidbar, we usually assume we don't darshan smuchim. Yeah. But here, this is like a hekesh. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaims two things, B'dibur Echod, that's even more of a hekesh than having a pasuk which has one din in the first half of the pasuk, another din in the second half of the pasuk. So the hekesh, the significance of the hekesh here is that just like women are prohibited from doing malacha on Shabbos because that's a loisase, and a loisase, even if it's man grama, women are obligated to observe it. So even the reciting of kiddush, which is really a mitzvah saseh shas man grama, also the women are obligated to observe it because zochu b'shamar b'dibur Echod nemru. It's treated like a hekesh. It's a medrash, but the Gemara assumes that it's not stam a story. The Gemara says this din is based on that assumption that they were proclaimed by Rasach. Some midrashim are sometimes exaggerating just to bring about a point, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the story is true. And here the Gemara assumes that this is true. This is exactly what happened, and therefore we have a din based on it. The Rambam also is of the opinion here. That's how we paskan that Havdalah is deraisa. That's a big machlokes. The Rambam writes that Havdalah is included also in the mitzvah of Zohar. Many Bali HaTesis are of the opinion Havdalah is only with the Rabbanon. And the Magen Mishnah says there are those Mishnah who agree with the Rambam Havdalah is their Raisa, but they base it on a different pasuk. Based on a different pasuk, Lahavdalah. So if you say that Havdalah is their Raisa, but based on a different pasuk, not based on Zohar or Lahaski, it could well be that women are only Mukhid in Kiddush and not Mukhid in Havdalah. So the Rama holds not so. That's how we pass and we correct. We pass and that Havdalah is their Raisa, included in the pasuk of Zohar, and therefore women are Mukhid in Havdalah, both Kiddush and Havdalah. Because there were Rishonim who held that women are not Mukhid in Havdalah, so that's why in Shulchan Aruch they recommend a woman should always avoid saying her own Havdalah. Because maybe they're not mechuyev. A woman certainly should not say Havdalah for a man. Maybe the man is mechuyev min HaTorah, the woman is not mechuyev at all in Havdalah. So for sure, a woman shouldn't say Havdalah for a man. There are some communities where the husband and the wife alternate. So one week the husband says Kiddush and he's might say the wife. The other week the wife says Kiddush and she might say the husband. It's a little unusual. So there's some communities where they do the same by Havdalah. So that for sure is against the Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch that a woman should not recite Havdalah to be Moitzi a man, because it could well be that the men are Mechayiv in Havdalah and Havdalah, could be the women are not Mechayiv at all in Havdalah, could be the women are not Mechayiv in Rabbanah. The bottom line, we pass with that the women are Mechayiv in Havdalah and Havdalah. Abdullah, the same thing, yes.
So if you're going to hear a theory of the rights of Abdullah, you could potentially hear from a woman, you don't
think you. We assume that when we daven and we say Shemona Esrei, it's as if we have in mind that we only want to be out in the mitzvah of tefillah, as if we have in mind we don't want to be out in the mitzvah of kiddush. Because the Chachamim want us to fulfill the mitzvah of kiddush alayayim, holding a cup of wine, the same Havdalah. So if you have in mind explicitly, I do want to be yotzei when I daven Ma'ariv on Leil Shabbos and on the Toi Shabbos, want to be yotzei both the mitzvah of tefillah as well as the mitzvah of kiddush and the mitzvah of Havdalah. Okay, so then you're yotzei. But we assume that normally people have in mind not to be yotzei the kiddush and not to be yotzei the Havdalah, because they want to do the Takanas Chachamim, which was to fulfill kiddush alayayim. To fulfill the mitzvah of Havdol Alayyam. So this happens to be a famous Rambam, this Kuf Nun He, that the Rambam states explicitly that not only is Kiddush Deraisa, Havdol is also Deraisa. He says included in Kiddush is not just to say today is Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva Eger writes in one place that when you greet someone on Shabbos, say good Shabbos, so you get to Kiddush Ben Atarim, because you said b'peh that today is Shabbos. So the Mishnah Brura quotes this statement from Rabbi Akiva Eger, and he disagrees, and he says, if you look in the Rambam, in the Sefer Mitzvahs, you see that you're only Yotzei Kiddush on Shabbos, if you say today is a holy day, and it's different from the other days of the week. If you just say today is Shabbos, you didn't say anything about Shabbos, then you're not Yotzei Kiddush. Probably also not. The Rambam says you have to say Kiddush Hayom, Kiddusha, you have to emphasize that Shabbos is different from the other days of the week. We say this nearest Yom Zemechubad, we say today is a unique day, different from all the other days. That's to enhance the mitzvah of Kiddush. But in the text of the Kiddush itself, it says, Shabbos is holier than the other Yom. It's different from all the other days. The Rambam continues here about going through the different days of the year. We started with Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Shona, Tvias HaLuach, who is Mitzvah says in Kufnum Gimel. Then he has the Mitzvah to abstain from Malach on Shabbos. Then he has Mitzvah to recite Kiddush on Shabbos. Then he has Mitzvah says in Kufnum Vav to dispose of all of the Chametz on Erev Pesach. Ach Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu Sa'or Mipotecha. The word Bayom HaRishon doesn't mean the first day Pesach. The Gemara says Yom HaRishon means the day prior to Pesach. In Biblical Hebrew, the word the Tosfos Yontov points that out. Tosfos Yontov says that somebody asked him a question: why did the Orthodox Jews always pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, that he should be able to bring karbanos? But the prophet, the three Levim, Chagas, Har, Malachi, who were there when they were building the second Beis HaMikdash, they were supervising the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So one of them said, I think. Malachi, I think, I'm not sure. One of them said, "Godly Yakvod Habayis Hazeh Ha'achron Min Harishon." This, the last Beis Hamikdash, will be more glorious than the first Beis Hamikdash. So he himself, the Navi himself, said that the second Beis Hamikdash is the last Ha'achron. So why do we keep on praying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rebuild the Beis Hamikdash? But the Navi told us that the second Beis Hamikdash was the Achron. But the Tosfos Yontov writes that that's a mistake. That it's a misunderstanding of biblical Hebrew. In modern Hebrew, Rishon means first and Achron means last. Biblical Hebrew, it sometimes means first and last. And sometimes Rishon means previous or prior, not necessarily first. And sometimes Achron means latter. For example, he quotes, it says, Ach b'yom Rishon tashbis esor b'batechem. You don't dispose of the chametz on the first day of Pesach. Yom Rishon means the day prior to Pesach. And the word Achron in Tanakh, in different places in Tanakh, doesn't really mean the last, it means the latter. Like it says when Yaakov came back to Eretz Yisrael, so he took the Shvachas v'yaladeh Rishoyna, the Sleah v'yaladeh Acharonim, the Shvachah v'yaladeh Acharonim. So how does it say Leah v'yaladeh Acharonim if they weren't last? It says Rachel v'yaladeh Acharonim. So obviously the word Acharonim by Leah v'yaladeh just means afterwards. Acharonim doesn't mean last in that context, it means afterwards. And the same by Moshe Rabbeinu in Parsha Shmos, when he came to Paro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him he should... what were the three osos? So the first os was... he should throw down his cane, and it should turn into a snake. Then when he holds onto it, it goes back to become a cane. If they don't listen to that os, show them the way you take your hand, it's healthy, you put it in under your shirt, take it out, it's going to be leprous, it's going to be diseased, then you put it back in, it's going to be healthy again. Then it says, if they won't listen to the list, then take some water from the Nile River, it's going to turn into blood. So why is that called Os Acharon, if there was another Os after it? So the answer is, in Biblical Hebrew, the word Acharon doesn't always mean list. Sometimes it means ladder. The next Os. See here, that's the pasuk. Ach b'yimarishim tashbisu, we should dispose of the chametz, we have to destroy the chametz. Not on the first day of Pesach, but on the day of Erev Pesach. Gemara has a machlokes whether beer chametz is only b'sreifa or has b'sasa b'chol davar. So we pass you don't necessarily need sreifa. As long as you dispose of the chametz in any way, it's also acceptable. Then the Rambam continues, there's a mitzvah on Leil HaSeder to tell Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim, and he says, Kalamar B'Saper, Areza B'Shubach, he says there is no specific text. We now have a text, we recite the Haggadah. But he says, years ago, Mikra Adin, there is no specific text. Each person tells the story according to his ability. You should tell over the story. And even if you don't have children, and the Chumash says, Yisholcha Bincha Mocha Leimor, if your children will ask you. What if a person has no children? What if his children are infants and they're not old enough to ask any questions? So still the Rambam says, it's still a mitzvah to tell over the story. Even if a person has no children, even if all of his children are married and he's all by himself, it's still a mitzvah to tell over the story of Sipi Yitzias Mitzrayim. And he writes, Kalamar B'Lisapa Harez and B'Shuba, this is a din minatar. This is a part of that mitzvah minatar. Then he has mitzvah Kuf Nun Ches, is a mitzvah to eat matzah Pesach night, whether there is a Korban Pesach or not. What does he mean by that? Because the mitzvah to eat Maror, or the Gemara says, is only in conjunction with Korban Pesach. Because Manazet, the Gemara says, Maror is only with the Rabbanah. So the Rambam understood, not like Tosfos, the Rambam understood, even Mizban Shabbos, Hamikdash HaYekayim, let's say for some reason or another, a person is not eating Korban Pesach. He's Tomei B'Derech HaChoyka, he's going to try to bring Pesach Sheni, but he's not participating in Pesach Rishon. So the Rambam's opinion is that Maror would only be with the Rabbanan then. Maror is only in a Torah in conjunction with Korban Pesach. That's what he says Maror doesn't really exist as an independent mitzvah. Maror is just to enhance the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach. But he says the mitzvah of Matzah exists as an independent mitzvah. Then Yehasham Korban Pesach, then no Yehasham. Even if there's no Korban Pesach, there's an independent mitzvah to eat Matzah. Tosfos doesn't agree with the Rambam. Tosfos thinks that Maror b'zman hazeh is only the Rabbanan. Mitzvah of Maror exists only b'zman shebeis hamikdash hayekayim, but Maror would be a separate mitzvah even if you're not able to eat Korban Pesach. Even if you're tamei v'derech rechoika, and you're unable to eat Korban Pesach, Tosfos sheet is that Maror would still be minatur. And the Rambam has this famous sheet. He says, no, that Maror doesn't really exist as an independent mitzvah, it's just a way to enhance the fulfillment of the mitzvah of eating Korban Pesach. Is there a Gemara that what? Matzah is only the Rabbanan. There was an opinion like that in the days of the Gemara, yes. The Matzah b'zman hazeh is only the Rabbanan, the same as Maror, right? So the Gemara rejects that. The Gemara says if Matzah b'zman hazeh is only the Rabbanan, and Maror for sure is only the Rabbanan, the Korban Pesach doesn't exist, then the Gemara says CPTS Mitzrayim would only be the Rabbanan. Because the mitzvah of CPTS Mitzrayim is only b'zman sheyesh Matzah Maror, when Nochem Lefanecha. So because we paskin that matzah b'zman hazeh is deraisa, that's why we paskin that tzipitzias Mitzrayim is deraisa. That is correct. That's what the Gemara says. Then the Rambam is continuing with all of the mitzvahs that have to do with zman. So mitzvah kuf nun tes is a mitzvah not to do malacha on the first day of Pesach. Mitzvah kuf samach not to do malacha on the seventh day of Pesach. This is problematic. Why the Rambam counts these as two distinct mitzvahs? Earlier, when the Rambam was listing off the mitzvah to bring musafim, so he has one mitzvah to bring extra, you bring tamidim every day, Tomas Shachar, Tomas Shal Ben Abayim, every day in the base of the, every day of the year. Then on Shabbos, you should bring musafim, V'yom HaShem Shnei Chosman and Shonach Mimim, Hamash Chodesh, you should bring musafim. So there's one mitzvah to bring musafim on Shabbos, every Shabbos, one mitzvah to bring musafim every Rosh Chodesh, one mitzvah to bring musafim on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur. Mitzvah to bring musafim on Shavuos. Mitzvah to bring musafim every day of Sukkot. The musafim are different. Every day of Sukkot is the Masaf Madif. So the Rambam doesn't count every day as a separate mitzvah. The Rambam counts, if I'm not mistaken, the Rambam counts to bring Musafim all the 7 days of Sukkot is one mitzvah. Then he says to bring the Musafim on Shmini Atzeres is another mitzvah. And he asks him, why do I count Shmini Atzeres separate from why do I count Shmini Atzeres separately from Sukkot? So he says that because the Shmini Atzeres is a regular Bifnei Atzma. But just like I count the mitzvah to bring Musafim on Rosh Hashanah as the second mitzvah, the mitzvah to bring Musafim on Yom Kippur as the second mitzvah, so the mitzvah to bring the Musafim on Shmini Atzeres is a separate mitzvah. The mitzvah to bring Musafim on all the 7 days of Pesach is one mitzvah. 7 days of Pesach is one mitzvah to bring Musafim. To bring Musafim the 7 days of Sukkot is one mitzvah. To bring Musafim on the 8th day of Sukkot is a separate mitzvah. See, it is a problem. Why does the Rambam count the Iser not to do Melacha on the 1st day Pesach and the 7th day Pesach? Why does he count it as two different mitzvahs? The 7th day is the same as the 1st day. It's not a regel bifnei atzmo. Shemini Atzeres is a regel bifnei atzmo. So that we understand the Rambam is going to count as two different mitzvahs. Here he has a mitzvah not to do Melacha on Rosh Hashanah, not to do Melacha on Yom Kippur. Then he says not to do Melacha on the 1st day Sukkot, not to do Melacha on Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is a regular bifnei atzma, that's why he counts it as a separate mitzvah. But he counts Shvi Shal Pesach as separate. When it comes to the Musafim, the Rambam does not count it as a separate mitzvah to bring Musafim on Shvi Shal Pesach. It's one mitzvah, all the 7 days of Pesach. So why does he count the Isam Melacha on Shvi Shal Pesach? That is a problem. That is a serious problem. There are a lot of problems with the Sefer Mitzvahs. Not all the Rishonim agree with the Rambam's whole system. That is a problem. Here, interspersed here, he doesn't only have the prohibition against doing Melacha. See, Kuftim Dalb is not to do Melacha on Shabbos, then not to do Melacha on the 1st day Pesach, not to Melacha on the 7th day Pesach, but he had other dinim in the middle. See, here he also has. There's a mitzvah to count Sfiras Ayman. So he puts it over here. And even though the Gemara says mitzvah the mimni yami, mitzvah the mimni shavui, it's a mitzvah to count the days, which day it is, and a mitzvah to count how many weeks it is, there were some Rishonim who considered these as two distinct mitzvahs. So the Rama makes fun of that. This mitzvah says it kuf samachalav. He says, no, it's really one big mitzvah to count the days and the weeks together. We say, how many, we say today's the 15th day of Sfiras Omer, and then we say that makes 2 weeks and 1 day. Like a person is counting money, I have 215 pennies, that adds up to $2.15. So the Rambam says it's not two different mitzvahs, to count the days and to count the weeks. It's one big mitzvah to count the days and the weeks together. The Rambam proves that he's right, in disagreement with the other Rishonim, and the other Rishonim counted them as two distinct mitzvahs. The Rambam says if they would have been two distinct mitzvahs, he should have said two different brachas. Say bracha shekadoshanu b'mitzvos v'tzivano al sfiras yemei ha'omer and count how many days it is, and then shekadoshanu zason al sfiras shavua so'omer and count how many weeks it is. That's one of the Rambam's proofs. He would have said two brachas. This is problematic. This proof is problematic. The Rambam himself considers tefillah shel yad and tefillah shel rosh as two distinct mitzvahs, and the Rambam holds you only say one bracha. If the Jews in the world only say one bracha, Rashi and the Rambam, and half of the Rishonim say, you only say a bracha on the Shal Yad, and you don't talk, and the Shal Rosh is covered with the same bracha as you said over the Shal Yad. How come? Because there is no halacha that every single mitzvah requires its own bracha. If you can cover several mitzvahs with one bracha, so be it. So say one bracha. The Rambam himself quotes a Tosefta, that if a farmer is about to be mafrish bikurim, and Shuma Gedoyla, and Chala, and Maisa and Amaisa, he can cover all four with one bracha. Asher Kedishonu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al hafrashas truma. Because all four are considered truma. Truma Gedoyla, and Bikurim, and Maisa and Amaisa, Trumas Maisa, and Chala. They're all mamish truma. So the Rambam holds the same is true by Tefillin Shal Yad, Tefillin Shal Rosh. They're two distinct mitzvahs, but they're both tefillin, so they can both be covered with one bracha, lo haniach tefillin. So why does the Rambam prove over here? He says the fact that we don't have two different brachas, one on the counting of the days of the sphere, one on the counting of the weeks of the sphere, this is a clear-cut indication that it's really two parts of one mitzvah. It's not two distinct mitzvahs. Would have been two mitzvahs, would have required two brachas. Why should it require two brachas? The Rambam holds Shal Yad and Shal Rosh are two mitzvahs, and it's covered with one bracha. That's a problem in the Rambam. What kind of a proof is this? Some Rishonim say that Ben Yerucham says that his mancha beis amim dushayekayim, they did say two brachas because there were two distinct answers. But he says bisman hazeh, the counting of the weeks is only mid the rabbanon. The counting of the days is min haTorah. The counting of the weeks is only mid the rabbanon. So that's why we only say one bracha. So how did the Rambam know, Taka? How did the Rambam know? You had a siddur from the days of bisman bayis sheni that they only said one bracha bisman habayis. Maybe they used to say two brachas like the Rabbi Yerucham. Anyway, that's what the Rambam knows. Rambam's going to have the same later. He's going to say it's a mitzvah on the Bezn HaGadol to count which year of Shemitah it is, to count the years and to count the Shemitah cycles. So he says, that's one mitzvah on the Bezn HaGadol. Sfiras Hayom is a mitzvah called Yachad B'Yachid. The counting of the years and the Shemitah cycles to lead up to a Yovel, it's only a mitzvah on the Bezn HaGadol, but he says the counting of the years, the counting of the Shemitah cycles is one big mitzvah. Just like I wrote by Sfiras Hayom, that it's only one mitzvah. So he says the same is true over here. When the Bezn HaGadol counts the years and the Shemitahs, so it's one big mitzvah. They're not two distinct things. Okay, we better stop. After mitzvah says the Kuf Samar Beis.